Psalm 119. I told you this story, I think, before, but it's a good illustration that I want to go back to again. Years ago, when we were in Korea, we went out into a country area, not too far from the city of Daejeon, about an hour away, I guess, a little area called Sukhol. It was an area where there were actually five villages around, and in the middle of those five villages, we had there was a little independent Baptist church there. And so we went out there to hold some meetings for the folks there. And while we were there, one evening before the service, we were invited to one of the old men in the church, Grandfather Lee. I imagine he's in heaven by now, but he was old back then, and that was a long time ago. But Grandfather Lee invited us to his house, and we had a wonderful meal there. And I remember when we came out of the house, the sun had set, and it was dark. Grandfather Lee lived out in the middle of a bunch of rice paddies, and there were no street lights there. It was dark. There was no moon. And so off over there, we could see the lights of the church. Getting from here to there, though, that was going to be something. And so I remember kind of easing out, looking for the dike, you know, that runs between the rice paddies and all of that, and began moving that way, knowing that just one false step and I would be knee deep in a muddy mess. And as I started moving that way, though, I heard Grandfather Lee say, wait a minute. And he came out with a torchlight, and with that torchlight, he led me safely along the dike there from his place over to the church. Life is often like that, isn't it? Many times in life, we experience times of darkness. Many times in life, our hearts are filled with fear because we, to be very honest, we simply cannot see where the next step is going to be. We have a hard time seeing what's in the path ahead, and so therefore we begin to be filled with fear. We begin to be filled with worry. But as believers, we have a wonderful advantage. We have a wonderful advantage because as we walk through this thing that we call life, we do have a light that will show us the way. And that light is the Word of God. That light is the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah spoke of this same thing. If you flip over to Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 21. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the prophet said, "Thine ears have heard a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." In other words, what he was saying was, as you're walking on the path, and there will come times when you will find yourself wandering off to the left, or you find yourself wandering off to the right, and when you find yourself wandering out of the path, that's when you will hear the voice of God speaking to your heart, and he will say, this is the way, you walk in this. You stay in this path. You walk in this way. And so in the stanza that we're going to look at today, we're going to see David dealing with this very thing as he shows us three essential things about the light of God's Word. Three things about the light of God's Word. Number one, God's Word guides us. God's Word guides us. There are two things that we see in the opening verses of this stanza. First of all, we see that God's Word guides us in our walk. Letter A. In our walk. Notice, first of all, we see the way found. The way found. In verse number 105, David said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Christian life is oftentimes referred to as a walk. It is oftentimes referred to as a walk. And so the Bible has much to say about how we ought to walk. How we ought to walk. The Bible is the light that God has given to us. So that as we walk this Christian life, the Bible is to show us, it shows us the way that we ought to go. And not only does it show us the way in which we ought to go, it also reveals for us the pitfalls that are in our way. The pitfalls that are in our way. But it should be noted here very carefully, if you'll look at the text again, you'll notice there that God's Word is a lamp, notice it, it's a lamp to our feet. And it is a light to our path. In other words, it does not show us the whole thing. When I was walking with Grandfather Lee, his torchlight, you know where he kept it aimed? Right there. Right there. Okay? No, right there. Right there. See? He wasn't shining it all around the valley. I didn't need to see what was out in the valley. If the light had been shining out in the valley, I could have ended up in a mess. He didn't shine the light all around the mountains that were there, beautiful mountains that they were, but I didn't need to see the mountains. What I needed to see was the path. And I needed to see where to put my foot for the next step. That's what God's Word does. A lot of people come to the Word of God and they say, Pastor, what do I do? And I say, well, you know, the Bible says you need to do this. Okay, yeah. But then what? Don't worry about then what. Just do this. Take this step. Obey here. And then the light will show you the next step. And then the next step. And that's why the Bible refers to the Christian life as a walk of faith. It is a walk of depending on God's Word to show us the way that He would have us to go. That brings us to the next point. Not only do we see the way found, but notice the way followed. In verse number 106, David said, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. In other words, David, understanding that God's Word was a light for his pathway, it was a light to show him the steps that he was to take in his life, understanding that, David made a promise. He made a promise that he was going to keep God's Word. And David, notice it, he was determined that he would do it. He said, I have sworn. In other words, I've made God a promise. You ever made God a promise? Have you ever found yourself in a dark time in your life, in a frightening time in your life, in a uncertain time in your life, and all of a sudden, I don't know if they ever showed it here in Singapore or back years ago in America, they used to have a game show on television. It was called Let's Make a Deal. A lot of times that's what we do with God, isn't it? We find ourselves in a frightening time. We find ourselves in a dark time. And all of a sudden we say, God, let's make a deal. If you will do this and this and this, then God, I promise. I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do some other thing. And God, if you'll just get me out of this mess, then here's what I'm going to do, God. Let's make a deal. I guess that's human nature. David did it. David said, I have sworn, but notice it was more than just get me out of this mess. David said, I have sworn and I will perform it. I will perform it. You see, David was a man of integrity. David was a man of character who understood the importance of keeping his promises both to men and to God. Both to men and to God. If you make a promise, whether it's to a man or whether it's to God, then what you say you're going to do, that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do. You gave your word. Your word ought to be your bond. Your word ought to count for something. And David said, I've sworn and I will perform it. David was determined to keep his promise. I think a great example of this that we're talking about here is seen in the life of King Asa. King Asa. He was the third king of Judah. He was the third king of Judah. He ruled from around 911 to 870 BC. He was the grandson of King Rehoboam and the great-grandson of King Solomon. And after King Solomon, you remember the nation went into a downward spiral. But when Asa came to the throne, there was a revival in the land. There was a revival in the land. He was a king who when he saw the wickedness of his country and the wickedness of his nation, he called for some religious reforms. You can read about it, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 12 to verse number 15. He called for religious reforms and he also called upon the nation to renew their covenant. To renew their covenant with the Lord God at Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice this. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 15, as a result of this spiritual revival, as a result of the spiritual reforms that Asa had called for, the Bible says, and all Judah rejoiced. All Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Did you notice it there? Did you notice it? They made an oath. They made an oath to the Lord God. They enjoyed the blessings of God. But did you notice the thing that tied those two things together? Between the promise and the blessing? The thing that tied those two things together, the thing that linked them together, is found in the statement that they sought Him with their whole desire. In other words, they did exactly what they had promised they were going to do, and they did it with all their heart. They did it with all their heart. And the same thing was true in the life of David. He made promises to God, not as a means to win God's favor, not as a means to try to talk God into something. David did not make promises that were designed simply to get his way, and once he got what he wanted, then he was going to forget all about the promise. That wasn't David. That wasn't David. David, in his honest integrity, made promises to God that he absolutely intended to keep with all of his heart. That was David. Now there's a practical point here that I want us to notice. There's a practical point. The light of God's Word, the light of God's Word will do us no good if the light is pointing this way and we're walking this way. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how it would be if walking along those dikes, if we'd have been walking like this, and Grandfather Lee's light had been pointing that way? That would be the height of folly, wouldn't it? That would be silliness. You don't point a light where you have been. You point the light the way you're going. And when it comes to following the light of God's Word, it is useless to expect this book to give any light to our pathway, to give us the insight and the direction we need in walking through this life. It's foolish to think that this book is going to help us if it's pointing this way and we're going that way. In other words, we need to get our feet lined up with our light. We need to get our feet lined up with our light. We need to have the integrity that we will walk in the light, not opposed to the light, but walking in the light. God's Word, it guides us in our walk. There's another thing I want us to notice here. Letter B, it guides us in our weakness. In our weakness. As you walk through the darkness of this world, the light of God's Word will reveal things that are dangerous to us. Not only does it show us the way that we ought to go, but it shows us the dangers that are in front of us. While walking on that dike with Grandfather Lee years ago, there were times when his light would reveal places where that dike had sort of washed away. They would have areas where they would pump the water from one rice paddy over into another rice paddy, and sometimes that would create a washing away, and the dike would be very thin in certain areas where it had washed out. Be very easy. Step into one of those places, and before you knew it, you would slide down, and you'd be in a mess. It also revealed places where stones had been taken when they were going through and plowing their paddy. They would take stones out and they would place them along the dike there just to get them out of the way. And as you were walking along in the dark, it would be very easy to stumble over one of those stones, to trip over it, and to fall. There were gaps that were there. All sorts of dangers that were along the paddy there. And the truth is, those things would have never been seen had it not been for the light. Had it not been for the light. That's the way it is with the Word of God. That's the way it is with the Word of God. God's Word is a light. And it shows us the dangers that are in our path that we are naturally too weak to comprehend or to perceive. It shows us the dangers that are there. Shows us the dangers that are there. Notice in verse 107, David said, I am afflicted very much. Now we have seen this before, David's afflictions. You remember back in verse 50 and 51, David's afflictions came from those who were called the proud. In verse number 75, he also had afflictions that came from the Lord. But in either case, whether it was wicked men who were bringing afflictions against him, or whether it was the Lord himself who was bringing afflictions for the purpose of chastisement and for the purpose of instruction, in either case, David's response was exactly the same. He said, "I am afflicted very much," but then he said, "Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word." In other words, during this time of difficulty, when I'm facing the darkest parts of life and the darkest times of life, when things are frightening and I don't really know what is in front of me, help me to live, quicken me, help me to live in the light of your word and walking in obedience to it. God's word guides us. It guides us in our weakness, and then let her see. It guides us in our worship. It guides us in our worship. Except, verse 108 says, "Except, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord." Under the Jewish economy, men were required to bring certain offerings at specific times throughout the year. But some offerings could be freely brought at any time. Some offerings could be brought at any time just to show love to God. There were some offerings that a person could just freely bring to show their devotion, their consecration, their thanksgiving to the Lord. Those offerings could be brought at any time. And that's what David is talking about here when he talks about his free will offerings. These were not tithes. These were offerings that were just given freely because of his love and his devotion to the Lord. And David mentions here that there were times in his life when the storms and the trials were so overpowering that he found it hard to be thankful. Have you ever been there? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Times when things are just so overwhelming and it just seems like one thing after another and we feel like a skier. I saw on TV the other night that he was doing some of this, they call it extreme skiing. There's one qualification you have to have to do that, and that is you have to have a certificate actually that you are a certified idiot. This guy got on a helicopter. They flew him up on the top of this mountain, and he literally just kind of jumped off. And his goal was he was going to ski down and go over these cliffs and over the, you know, all this kind of stuff. And extreme skiing. Well, everything went well until he made that first jump. And even then it was going well till he hit the ground. And when he hit the ground, he actually started an avalanche. And on the video, you see it looks like the whole mountain starts moving under him, and he is caught in the middle of that avalanche. And fortunately, it didn't kill him, because, at least I don't think it did, because they interviewed him later. That means he survived, right? But anyway, they interviewed him later, and he was talking about it, and he said, a real astute observation. He said, "You know, I could have died." No kidding. That was his statement. I could have died because, and here's what he said, it was out of control. You're just hanging on. You're just going along for the ride. Sometimes life gets that way, doesn't it? Sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? Everything is moving under us. We have no control. We have no stability. We're just trying to hang on for the ride. Just trying to hang on for the ride. And during those times, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful. Therefore, David had to learn, just like you and I have to learn, he had to learn to be thankful, listen carefully, to be thankful by faith. To be thankful by faith. And so David added here, he said, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. Accept my thanksgiving. Accept my praise. Accept my worship. And teach me thy judgments. In other words, I don't understand all of this, Lord. I don't understand why all this stuff is happening in my life. I don't understand why I feel like I'm caught in an avalanche and things are totally out of control. Lord, I don't understand why you're allowing this. But Lord, accept my free will offerings. I'm thanking you. I'm praising you. And my request is that as I thank you, that Lord, you will teach me. Teach me what you're doing. Let me learn from this. Let me learn from it, as Paul would later write, let me learn that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Teach me your judgments. The Word of God will certainly guide us. It's a light. It's a light to our feet. It's a light to our path. It shows us the way we ought to go. It shows the dangers that are there. And it helps us to have a light to understand what all is going on around us. There's another thing I want us to notice about the Word of God. Is not only does it guide us, but number two, God's Word guards us. God's Word guards us. It guards us in two ways. First of all, it guards us in the fact that it hushes our fears. It hushes our fears. Notice David says in verse 109, he says, my soul is continually in my hand. Now that's a Hebrew idiom. A Hebrew saying, my soul is in my hand. Today we might say it like this, that when we're faced with a certain time, when things are kind of frightening, things are kind of scary, you might hear someone say, my heart was in my throat. Same idea. In the Hebrew, they would say, my soul is in my hand. Yet when his life was filled with fearfulness, because of those enemies and because of the afflictions that were hounding him, David found a calmness. Found a calmness in the Word of God. David said, my soul is continually in my hand. Yet, verse 109, do I not forget thy law? I'm fearful. My heart is in my throat. My soul is in my hand. I mean, I'm facing these times of trouble and these times of affliction. And I to be honest, I don't understand all of it. Lord, I can't really see why all of this is here. But in spite of all that, I'm not going to forget your law. I'm going to hold on to it. Because it's God's Word that will calm me and quiet my fears. Quiet my fears. Someone has counted them up and they've They've said that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. And someone made the observation, that's one fear not for every day of the year. Okay? Fear not. Fear not. It's interesting that many times during the ministry of the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, time after time we hear Him say to His disciples, fear not. Fear not. See, God's Word, if we will keep it foremost in our hearts and keep it foremost in our minds, it will cause us to have a calmness during those times that are frightening. Problem is, so many times we're just like Peter, aren't we? Remember Peter when he climbed out of the boat to walk on the water? Now, I know a lot of people give Peter a bad rap. I want to tell you something. I think it's pretty amazing he got out of the boat. I don't know that I would have enough faith to even get out of the boat. At least Peter got out. And the Bible says he started walking on the water, but what happened to him? All of a sudden he got distracted by what? By the winds. He got distracted by the waves. He got distracted by the lightning that was flashing and by all that was going on, and it caused him to turn his focus off of the Word of God, incarnate, Christ. He forgot the Word. And he got distracted by all that was going on around, and what happened? He began to sink. Same thing will happen to us in our life. That's why David said during those times when his soul is in his hand, when his heart is in his throat, when he's surrounded by all these frightening things, David's determination, I will not forget God's law. I'm not going to lose my focus. I'm not going to get distracted by all that's going on. I'm going to keep God's Word in my thoughts, because God's Word will calm and quiet my fears. Not only that, not only does God's Word guard us from fear, but it also guards us from our foes. It hinders our foes. Verse 110, the wicked, he said, have laid a snare for me. Years ago, as a soldier serving in Vietnam, we lost some men who fell into some very cunningly laid snares. We called them booby traps. But I soon discovered that as dangerous and as deadly and as hurtful as those snares were, amazing thing was, is they were no longer hurtful or deadly or dangerous if you knew where they were. Doesn't that make sense? If you know where the snare is, the danger's gone. It's no longer deadly, no longer hurtful, if you know where the snare is. And the same thing is true when it comes to the snares and the pitfalls that the wicked constantly put in our way to cause us to stumble and to fall as we seek to follow God in our life. If we walk in the light of God's Word, if we continually keep our focus on God's Word, and we allow the Word of God to shine on the path of our life, and we follow step by step in the way that God would have us to go, then we will be able to say with David in verse 110, he said, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet, notice what he said, I erred not from thy precepts. The wicked tried to trip me up. They tried to make me fall. They tried to get me distracted. They tried to cause me to slip and to slide into places where I had no business being. But I did not err. I did not get out of the way. I did not slip away from where I ought to be, according to thy precepts. Say, I erred not. God's word guides us. It guards us from our fears. It guards us from our foes. And then number three, I want us to notice God's word gladdens us. It gladdens us. David is going to speak of a couple of things here. First of all, he speaks of his happy heritage. His happy heritage. In verse 111, he said, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage." That is a possession. "I've taken thy testimonies as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." You see, David had learned, even though his circumstances were not always as pleasant as he had hoped they might be, he found that the realities of life were sometimes very disappointing. And yet, in spite of that, David had learned that even though the circumstances were not what he had might have hoped for, yet the Word of God was able to bring him, in spite of the circumstances, the Word of God could bring him blessing. Back in verse number 2. Could bring him blessing. Of course, you understand that word blessing, we've talked about this before, simply means happiness. Happiness. In spite of all that was going on around him, God's Word was a wonderful heritage because it would bring blessing. Not only that, in verse number 9, it would bring cleansing. In verse number 28, it would give strength. In verse number 49, it would bring hope. In verse number 52, it would give comfort. All of those things, David said, the Word of God is able to do all of that regardless of the circumstances that I face in my life. God's Word. God's Word is going to be my heritage because it brings rejoicing to my heart. Brings rejoicing to my heart. And so therefore, when David was facing the dark and the frightening circumstances of life, when he was on a pathway that was dark and dangerous, and he could not see what was at the end, but step by step, as he followed the Word of God, he determined that was going to be his heritage. Walking in the light of God's Word. Because that was what brought true happiness. That was what brought true joy. I think a great example seen in the life of David himself. A great example is seen in the story when David was in Ziklag. You remember David when he was running from King Saul, he had a group of men that came and they joined with him. David's faithful men, they became known as. And there came a time when David, with his men, led a clandestine mission against the Philistines and went in and attacked some key areas in the land of the Philistines. And while they were on their mission, the Bible says the Amalekites came to Ziklag. They totally destroyed the city. Not only did they totally destroy the city, they took the wives and the children of David and his men as captives. As a result, when David and his men returned from their mission, they found the city had been burned with fire. They found that their families had been taken captives. And as a result of that, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6, the Bible says that David was greatly distressed. That word distressed, today we would say he was stressed. Okay? Now he's stressed out. Why? Because the people spake of stoning him. These are David's faithful men. These are not enemies. These are his friends. But because of the circumstance that has come upon them, now these friends of David have turned against him, and now they're talking about stoning him. That'll cause you to be stressed, won't it? David was stressed. But David remembered that he had made a choice that the Word of God was going to be his heritage. David remembered that there had come a time when he had made a decision that God's Word, regardless of the circumstances, God's Word was going to be his heritage. And therefore, the Bible says, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, when his friends were speaking of stoning him, David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. He encouraged himself and the Lord his God. His happy heritage. Notice secondly, his happy choice. If you'll remember, we saw David's prayer to God back in verse 36. Back in verse 36, David's prayer was this: incline my heart unto thy testimonies. In other words, Lord, turn my heart so that my focus will be your word. Incline my heart to thy testimonies. But now notice in verse 112, he said, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. There is no contradiction here. I want you to notice how these two points fit together. David desired for God to draw him to the Scriptures. And David determined in his own heart that he was going to follow the Scriptures. That's how those two verses come together. David's prayer in verse 36, incline my heart. God, you do this. Turn my heart to your Scriptures. And then David said, I have inclined my heart that I'm going to obey. I'm going to follow. I'm going to perform God's statutes when it is convenient. Is that what it says? No. No, he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it always. Even to the end. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Many Christians ask God to teach them His Word, but they never incline their heart to obey God's Word. In other words, many Christians, basically, when it comes to the Word of God, they have a curiosity about it, but they have no inclination to follow it. They're curious about what the Bible says about this or about that or about some other thing, but they have no really sincere desire of their heart to walk in obedience to it. Not so with David. Not so with David. David was a man who followed the admonition that James would later give in James 1:22 when he said, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, if we think that happiness, if we think that joy is going to come from knowing God's Word, then we are deceiving ourselves. Happiness and joy does not come from knowing what the Bible says. Happiness and joy comes from doing what the Bible says. That's why Jesus said, John chapter 13 and verse 17, he said, if you know these things, talking about his word, he said, if you know these things, happy are ye. If. See, happiness doesn't come from knowing. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. That's where the happiness comes from. That's where the joy comes from. And so David's happy choice the choice that brought him the greatest joy, the greatest pleasure, the greatest blessing was his choice to obey the Word of God, to walk in the light of God's Word. May God help us, like David, to make the Word of God to be the light that leads us along this slippery pathway that we call life. May God help us to walk in the light of God's Word. And if we will do that, we will find that it will guard us from evil. And it will gladden us with joy that only God can give as we walk in obedience to the light. May God help that to be so. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for Your Word. Take these...